I forgot to
tagline.
No, I've got a tagline.
Oh no, you know which one I wanted to use? Shit, I had an idea for a tagline, but if you got it, go for it.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you tell me what your idea is, and if it's better than mine, I'll use it.
Ishtar.
Oh.
Now it's funny to me because somebody, at least one person gets the reference because Wesley's looking them up every week to send them to us.
Well, that's good because if there's anything I really want from this, it's one person that's already won, completely understanding what's going on. Did you look? Does it have taglines, or you're just wasting my time? Okay, that's good.
Okay.
So I'll just go back to what I was going to do. And the sad thing about it, it's not really sad, but I had sort of already kind of in my head come up with the open based on the tagline that I was going to use. Okay. But because you were pretty in the corner of Ishtar, I was going to adjust things, but now I don't have to. So I guess that's good. What's up? This is Movies on Up, the entertainment experience of a lifetime. In addition to that being an actual factual statement about this very podcast, it is also an actual factual tagline from a movie. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guests to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your guests at us at moviesonup or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Who are us, you may ask? My good friend and co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
That's me.
That's Dave. I am Ryan. Dave would be kind of the scabbard to my sword, wouldn't you say so?
I was going to say the sandal to your sword.
Yeah, that's fine, because I'm not a big fan of the feet.
Or the flaming bush to your Moses? Is that a thing?
That's a thing? Sure. Spoiler alert, if you haven't figured it out already, from those couple references, sword and sandal movies, the topic for this week, and spoiler alert, our tagline. It's not really a tagline. It's more of a declarative statement, but don't yell at me. I'm getting these off IMDb. The entertainment experience of a lifetime would apply to a particular sword and sandal movie, which isn't on my list, maybe on Dave's list.
I doubt it's on mine.
Okay, fair enough. It may be one of the only ones you were able to name when we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's another hint. With those hints, if you think you can figure out what movie that tagline is from, send your guess to us in the following ways, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, if we pick you, you can win a Movies on Up prize package, which will not contain any sandals, because I don't own any, because they're gross.
I do own swords.
I'm not guaranteeing that the prize package will in fact contain a sword, because there may be some kind of waiver we have to fill out for that. Sword and sandal movies. Now, I guess you would think on the surface, maybe they must contain a combination of swords and sandals. This is kind of a genre that I feel like people know about it. It gets mentioned an awful lot. But when you really sit down and think about it, what the hell is a sword and sandal movie?
When I think sword and sandal movie, I think of movies I generally don't like. Like, I don't want to name drop any because they might be on your list. But it seems like the biggest thing that I think of when I think sword and sandal movies is it seems like every few years they're coming back. 2000, you had one that did very well, and it's like, oh, the sword and sandal movie's returning. And then like 4 or 5 years later, you had another one that made a ton of money, and people are like, oh, it's back. And then like this year, you have a couple, and it's like, oh, they're back. Sword and sandal movies are returning.
We can talk about the ones from this year because they're not on any of our lists.
Yeah, I guess Noah would be considered, Son of God, Exodus or whatever, the Christian Bale, Jesus. I don't know if it's Jesus here or not, but there's a few of those.
I don't think Jesus, you know what, forget it.
He wore sandals.
He did, I guess.
300.
Yeah, the 300 sequel.
Yeah.
They've got sandals. They've got a lot of swords.
Yeah. So there's a bunch this year, it seems.
Yeah, which is, I guess, kind of one of the reasons behind wanting to kind of to talk about these. But I think there were immediately several movies that came to mind for me, but I kind of disqualified them based on the footwear that the people wore. And I thought, that's kind of stupid, but it is what I did. I love me some movies where the main character brandishes a sword. I don't care. Star Wars, those are swords. Highlander, I wouldn't call that a sword and sandal movie, but those dudes have swords. Spoiler alert, none of the Star Wars Saga or Highlander Saga will appear on my list, I tried to really be as, I guess, literal with the sword and sandal. So it's kind of like a subgenre of action adventure type movies that were set thousands of years ago.
All right, let me preface my list before we have an.
I'm giving you a chance to explain why you didn't follow directions.
I don't like when the movies you think of when you hear sword and sandal. I don't particularly like those movies. So I couldn't think of, like, five that I wanted. So then I think, like, okay, well, maybe it's a historical thing. Like, okay, what if it took place in a certain time? So, okay, I went that. And I thought, okay, what if it's, you know, it doesn't have to be deserty. What if it's just pre-shoes and machine guns? So, like, people that use swords and maybe wear sandals. So I'm kind of all over the place and probably not what would be considered traditional sword and sandal movies, but they're at least movies I like.
Fair enough. I do like all of mine. I'm actually contemplating moving my number four up to my number one just because it is that damn good and I like it a lot. But that's jumping the gun or the sword in this case because we are on our number fives. Dave, I will let you lead off. Your fifth favorite quote-unquote sword and sandal movie.
All right. This one focuses more on the sword, which I think most of them do. And then when you
think... What movie would focus solely on sandals? See what I did there? That's a pun.
Boo.
Solely.
But when I think swords, I think, okay. And generally, anytime we do a list, I think, all right, how can I work dragons into this? So going back to my theory of like, okay, people that use swords and people that don't really have, you know, Nikes yet. What about Vikings? And what about a spaceship landing near Vikings? And then they have to fight a dragon in 2008's Outlander, starring no stranger to sword and sandal movies, Jim Caviezel. This movie's ridiculous. It's such a ridiculous premise, but it's so ridiculous it works.
So this is the second time that Jim Caviezel has played a sandal wearer that's actually an alien, right?
Yeah. This one,
Jesus,
at least he does
alien,
something cool.
Alert.
This movie, it's so ridiculous, and it's one of those that it's so ridiculous that it works. Like, it's a dumb idea. It's Vikings versus Predator, essentially. Like, Vikings versus a dragon. And I dig it. Like, it's different enough. It's unique enough. I mean, it's not a great movie, but can you watch this movie and be entertained for an hour and a half? Absolutely. Like, there are worse. Well, I would say there's worse Viking versus Dragon movies, but I don't know that there are. But I don't know that there's any better ones. So
there's only one, apparently.
Yeah,
I mean, Outlander.
Just a fun movie. And Caviezel hasn't done a lot of leading man stuff outside of some stuff. He's had his shots, but they've all been kind of weird. He's got a wide range of his.
Did you do Bobby Jones too? That golfing movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, in my head, when I thought back, when I was thinking of this, I was like, okay, I'll let Vikings slide. Like, I'll pick a Viking movie. Then I thought, oh yeah, that one where Eric Bana fights a dragon. So I couldn't remember the name of it. So I'm going through Eric Bana's filmography, and I'm like, crap, what was the name of that movie? So then I thought, Ron Perlman was probably in that. So that's my number five is Outlander. It might be an outlander to this list.
Maybe. My number five definitely isn't, but I think you kind of made a good point with, are these great movies? No. But are they generally entertaining? Yeah. I think they're movies that you could watch, put on in the background on a Saturday afternoon, you know, when you're running the sweeper or doing some other kind of manly task. And I can't really think of a more manly movie to have in the background as you might be doing the dusting or, arranging your china cabinet than 2006's 300, directed by Zack Snyder, starring Gerard Butler, Lena Headey, Dominic West, and Michael Fassbender. I'm willing to admit that perhaps Zack Snyder sucks. And I'm also willing to admit that there may be, if it's possible, to have just a little too much washerboard abs on display in this movie. And maybe it takes the humanity of what is an actual historical event and kind of morphs it into a two-hour-long meathead video game cutscene. With all that being said, I love me some meathead video game cutscenes. It is very stylized, almost too much, but I think in this case, it actually takes the frames of the Frank Miller graphic novel and put them in full meathead motion right on the screen. And I think it was a very good adaptation of the book. And you may not like the book. It may be a great adaptation of bad source material. We've had that conversation before, and I won't necessarily argue against you with that. And I think sometimes a one-trick pony can be the perfect director for a project if you really need that one trick. Right here, Zack Snyder does exactly what Zack Snyder does, and it works for this particular movie. And maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe it is literally me and 299 other dudes that like this movie, or maybe it's 299 chicks that like this movie and just me, but I'll take those odds.
I think I've made it clear before on this pod, I do not like Snyder.
Yes, you've made that clear.
But this is before Zack Snyder, we use the term gets in his own way. Like, this is before Zack Snyder was the entity that is Zack Snyder. He was coming off a Dawn of the Dead, which was fun. It was entertaining enough.
I liked it a lot.
You know, it was entertaining. It lacked everything that made the original great, but replaced it with running zombies. So, I mean, it was passable. And then this one, I was there opening night because I had hope that a Watchmen movie could be made well. And I knew the better this movie did, the more budget that he would get to do Watchmen. You know what? It was stylized. But for this movie, it was fine because we've seen movies with a bunch of dudes in sandals hitting each other with swords. We've seen
it. We'll talk about several more.
Yeah, we've seen it so many times. So to come out with this and make it the same thing, but how we hadn't seen it before, I was for. And the fight choreography in this movie was fantastic. And it made the slow-mo, fast-mo cuts like work because if you do that style with the fight scenes that aren't that intricate, it's just you're slowing down, speeding up for no reason. But you got a lot of the detail in these fight scenes, which I like. Same as Dawn of the Dead. There was some stuff tackled in the source material that, you know, some undertones and stuff that wasn't addressed at all.
Consumerism.
Yeah, and this. And, I mean, that's kind of a staple of Zack Snyder's career is just take any substance out of everything and make it look pretty. And you have a Zack Snyder movie. But, I mean, this one was passable. I mean, again, I saw it opening night. I haven't watched it again. I didn't leave the theater angry. I didn't leave the movie hating it. But I had no need to ever see it again.
It's not my favorite. It's my fifth favorite. But it was entertaining. And that's, at the end of the day, sometimes that's really all I want from a movie is to be entertained. How entertained were you with your number four?
I actually really liked my number four. It gets a bad rap, and it's sad for multiple reasons. It's sad that it's the final movie of one of the greatest comic minds to ever live, and it's sad that it's the final movie of somebody who just passed away last week. It is 2009's Year One, written and directed by Harold Ramis. I really like Michael Cera. This was at the peak when Michael Cera was getting a lot of headlining work, and you know, this is back when Jack Black was still headlining movies. I thought they worked well together. But they weren't what took the movie from me. It was all the cameos. They get banished, and they're going, and they just encounter all these biblical characters along the way. And, like, Paul Rudd, like, David Cross, Vinnie Jones, Hank Azaria, Juno Temple, like, Olivia Wilde. Like, the cast is just ridiculous. You have a million funny people in this movie. Should it have been funnier? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But do I regret watching it? No. Do I wish Harold Ramis could have went out on a higher note? Yeah. But
does he? Probably, yeah.
Probably, yeah. But, I mean, for what it is, I laughed. I had a lot of fun. But I am a sucker for Harold Ramis. I'm a sucker for Michael Cera. So it had a lot working for it. But still didn't like it as much as I wanted to. But I liked it more than Jim Caviezel fighting dragons.
I think in a vacuum, this movie is okay. I mean, it was good. I chuckled a couple times. When I think of kind of what Year One was, a farcical look at history, there's another movie that comes to mind that does it a lot better.
History of the World.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know if that was on your list, so I was going to pussyfoot around it.
I didn't because it was basically, I didn't want to have Year One and History of the World on
right there.
And
they're very close.
They are very close. It's something I edged Year One over it.
Fair enough. I would have gone the other way, but you know, at least we've talked about both. So to each his own, I believe, was your quote from earlier. my number four, not a comedy at all. It is about to become pretty evident that I love me some Ray Harryhausen. This is the first of the Ray Harryhausen jams that I've got. It is 1963's Jason and the Argonauts, directed by John Chaffee, starring Todd Armstrong, Natsy Kovac, and Gary Raymond. Love some Ray Harryhausen, and I also have a bit of a soft spot for Greek mythology as well. Argonauts was kind of like the Justice League of Greek heroes. You had Jason and Hercules, kind of like Batman and Superman of Greece, but with sandals instead of spandex. I wish that I could have seen this movie in 1963, because I feel like I'd have lost my mind with that skeleton fighting scene. Now it looks hokey, but it's 50 years ago. One of the great things about, or at least I feel like the great things about, you know, this genre, is that you can have ridiculous adventures. And I think I like that from an escapism aspect, and dudes fighting skeleton warriors is, if that's not escapism, I don't know what it is. So you had the big time adventure stuffed with some really rad monsters, thanks to, and we said it last year when Harryhausen passed, the guy was an absolute genius. That's probably not even enough of praise for what he was able to do for the visual effects genre. We don't have the CGI that we have today if it wasn't for Harryhausen doing stop motion stuff in the 50s, in the 60s. The guy was so far ahead of his time. And to be able to bring these creatures to life where they weren't rubber bats on a string, it says a lot in and of itself. It's not my favorite of Ray Harryhausen's movies. That one I'll get to next. But it is a very good story. And hey, man, I don't have Hercules. There was a ton of Hercules movies back in the day. It seemed like there was about four or five every year. Italy produced a lot of them. But this is the only entry from Hercules on my list. So there you go.
That's where the term sword and sandal came from, were those Hercules Italian movies, because they were movies that could have a compelling enough storyline but were very cheap to make. And that's why they could make four to five a year with the same guy playing Hercules. My number three.
Rogers, I think, was the guy.
Who?
I think Rogers was the name of the guy that played Hercules in a lot of Mike, and what his first name was.
Ray?
Steve? Who knows?
I think it was Ray.
Probably.
My is from that era, but not an Italian movie. You know, I'm a sucker for classic movies, always looking at old stuff. So I'm going back to 1961 for my number three, Barabbas, starring Anthony Quinn as Barabbas, the guy who was released instead of Jesus.
Right.
If you're into the Christian mythology, that's the Barabbas is the guy who
was
freed.
The
yeah, he's the thief.
Bad dude.
Bad dude who's freed instead of Jesus. This movie kind of follows him and makes him an observer of that. And he immediately returns to crime, and it's pretty violent and pretty brutal for being a quote-unquote biblical movie, because he's not
based on a biblical character.
Based on a biblical tale, yeah. So it follows him, and just, you know, the lifetime criminal goes back to that. Jack Palance shows up, Ernest Borgnine, just very violent and brutal at times, and you know, it has him in his observer of the crucifixion, and even has him back at the empty grave with a hooker at one point. So it's just an interesting take. Like, for a movie based on that got its origins from the Bible, it's not what you'd expect. And Anthony Quinn was kind of perfect for it, and it's just such a brutal, violent, odd take that's just very interesting and entertaining to watch.
And way to bring it back around towards Lent, we are just starting that today. Happy Fat Tuesday, and happy movie about the guy that didn't get crucified and Jesus did. So you've walked the religious path. You've got Jim Caviezel in your number five. You've got
Cain and Abel and a bunch of other biblical people in year one.
Yeah, you're really turning over a new leaf here, Dave. I'm very proud of you. My number three. It's sort of a religious tale, but it's not based on even monotheistic religions. We're back to polytheism with our folks from Greece. Remember how much I said I liked Greek mythology and Ray Harryhausen? Well, here you go. 1981's Clash of the Titans, directed by Desmond Davis, starring Harry Hamlin and Laurence Olivier. the Greeks and the Harryhausen on full display here. When I think of Harryhausen, this is the first one that comes to my mind. It was one of the later films he did. Unfortunately, this came out, had the real bad luck. It was, I believe it sat on the shelf for about 3 or 4 years. Came out after a little movie in 1977. You may have heard of it, called Star Wars. It really made Ray Harryhausen's special effects look hokey after what Lucas and ILM was able to do in the late 70s. But still, I really like the movie. Theseus, if you're keeping track at home, is my favorite demigod, so that gives it the edge over Jason and the Argonauts. You add in yourself a mechanical owl, and I believe that you've struck pay dirt. I used to watch the absolute hell out of this movie. It's how I learned my constellations. All the characters in this movie, for the most part, are constellations now, so take that, Boy Scouts. And in addition to learning constellations, it may have been the first of the four pairs of boobs that I have seen in my life. The first pair happened to be in Clash of the Titans. Unfortunately, it takes two scenes and two actresses to get a full set of boobs. But, you know, when you're seven, you're willing to wait. So thank you, Desmond Davis.
I like this movie. We waxed ecstatic about this when Harryhausen died. And what's great is you look at him now and the effects, they were so far ahead of their time, but you mentioned it with Jason the Argonauts. They look kind of hokey now, but they had character. And you look at the Clash of the Titans remake that they remade a few years ago, no character whatsoever. You had the boring lead, and then you have these CGI characters.
And they took out the mechanical owl for the most part.
There was a nod to it.
Yes, which,
that was the
I know.
Only enjoyable part of that movie was that 2 second nod to the original. But his work had character. It had. The CGI was so lifeless in the, not to just bash on the remake, but like he provided something. Like he gave that, you know, even if you watch it now, it's hokey, but it's fun to watch. It's cool to see that that's what they were doing then. And for that time, it looked great.
At no point did anybody look at the new stuff and be like, this is groundbreaking. This
exactly.
is amazing.
That's what I mean. It's like it had no personality. At least Clash of the Titans had personality. Harry Hamlin, whatever, say what you will, but he's almost as boring as Sam Worthington. Like, he didn't bring much to the table, but
he didn't have to.
At least that movie had personality.
And boobs.
Yeah. My number two, since I let myself get away with Vikings during Outlander, I thought, you know what, I could squeeze another Viking movie in. And, you know, Sword and Sandal, at the heart, are just movies about big, buff, shirtless dudes. So why not Michael Fassbender? He was in 300. He's Sword and Sandal.
He was, yeah.
So I went with 2010's Centurion, directed by Neil Marshall. Neil Marshall's probably least fun movie, because I think like Doomsday, well, The Sin I wouldn't consider fun, but
yeah.
It was great. It's on
Dog
the
Soldiers
lower.
Soldiers was fun.
Yeah, it's on the lower end of. I mean, I'm a sucker for Neil Marshall. This is probably my least favorite movie of his, maybe, but. Still fun. Like, it's Fassbender, it's Olga Kurylenko, Dominic West, just...
It's half the cast of 300.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's 150 of them, roundabout.
Yeah, so just protecting their village, Roman soldiers. It might not have been Vikings.
No.
It wasn't Vikings, but since
wasn't
I had...
Wasn't Olga Kurylenko some kind of wildling creature?
Yeah, yeah. So they had swords, so whatever, it's my list, not yours.
Yeah, okay, fine. My number two, recently demoted, very recently demoted from my number one, and it may be, not maybe, it is a bit predictable. It is from the year 2000. Dave sort of mentioned it in our open, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix, Connie Nielsen. It is Gladiator. How can you not be entertained by this movie? I ask you that. It's got plenty of action. Some really good fight scenes, and we talked about as good as the 300 fight scenes are, they're very stylized. They're sort of superhero-esque type action scenes. I think the ones in Gladiator were much better. I think they're maybe not much better. They were better. A bit more realistic. They were more visceral. So I kind of lean that side. And I guess, really, it's a Sword and Sandal movie, sure, but as a revenge movie, it's really good. I would love to tell you that I like Stanley Kubrick's Spartacus better, even from a Sword and Sandal revenge flick angle, but I don't. Spartacus is more epic, but when it comes to the action of the two, I like Gladiator, and that's really almost my entire list is predicated on do I like the action? And Gladiator, I do. And besides, this movie actually makes you like Russell Crowe, and I feel like that's got to be worth something. It's worth a number two on my list.
I liked him in the Insider the year before.
Yeah, I get it. He should have won Best Actor.
It would have been Best Supporting.
Yeah,
I just haven't seen this. There's no reason I haven't seen it. I haven't. I have nothing against this movie. I like Joaquin Phoenix. It's one of those that maybe I missed the window. I think now it's too much. I don't know.
Been hype too much?
Maybe. I mean, it's been, 14 years?
Yes.
So, I don't know. But my number two, another instant classic. When I first arrived today, you asked if I had any night movies, and I have one. It's not really a night movie. It's a medieval movie, and I didn't know if I could count medieval movies on here because then I thought, okay, maybe Lady Hawk or a couple other ones that came to mind that are slipping my mind right now. But I went with 2011's Your Highness, starring Danny McBride, Natalie Portman, James Franco, Zooey Deschanel shows up. Yeah, it's a night movie. It's a medieval movie. But I really had no other things that I could even consider sword and sandal movies besides this. So I went with it.
I can't wait to hear your number one.
This is my number one.
Oh, yeah, it is. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is my number one.
Yeah, you're right.
I ran out of movies.
I'm sorry.
So,
instead, you ran out of movies. So you put, after you were out, you put your number
James
one.
James Franco has a sword on the poster.
That's true.
Count it. So I love this movie. I like Danny McBride. I loved him. I loved him from, Foot Fist Way. I saw a trailer for that and waited a year and a half before I could get a hold of that movie. And
is the only reason you didn't put that on your list because he's not wearing sandals?
Oh, he's barefoot.
Yeah, okay.
I love Danny McBride. It sucks that this movie kind of bombed because, he wrote this and it was his, headlining gig and then that kind of ruined that. But they have swords. There were some scenes with sandals in there. So I fully justify this. If you say they're a knight with swords and there's probably sandals in there or Vikings versus dragons, I would think this is more qualifying as a sword and sandal movie. So that's my number one.
Sure. Okay. I guess. The sad thing is I'm sitting here casting such judgment on your number one. My number one, absolutely a guilty pleasure. I'm sure people, if you care, if you were that invested in this podcast, you may do a spit take when I tell you this movie I enjoy better than Gladiator from 2000. It is 1982's classic, directed by Don Coscarelli, starring Mark Singer, Tanya Roberts, Rip Torn. It is The Beastmaster. Sure, Conan was cool, but when I saw Beastmaster, I was about six. Conan was a little grown up for six-year-old Ryan. Now, he liked the swords. He's down with Arnold. But everything else that's going on, it's not like I read the Conan comics back in the day. It was just a little too adult for me. But Beastmaster, right in the kid wheelhouse there. You had your hero, who was Mark Singer. All right, not the guy you would think as a lead barbarian in an action movie. Tanya Roberts, not your classical hot chick, but she's kind of interesting to look at for whatever reason. You definitely had your sword fights, and something you don't have on any of the other movies on my list, animal buddies. Singer had himself an eagle, a couple of ferrets, a dog, all of which he was able to communicate with and help him out on his adventure. And he had some really crazy magic in this. I think at some point, very early in the movie, there's a baby that gets stolen out of a woman's womb and put into a cow, which I think is Mark Singer, and that's how he becomes sort of a Beastmaster. He was birthed by a cow. The sequel sucks. It's awful. Skip that. But the first Beastmaster is absolutely a guilty pleasure of mine, and I would watch it almost at the drop of a hat. I enjoy Coscarelli. He doesn't, for the most part, doesn't take himself too seriously. And I don't think anybody was trying to make Gladiator or Spartacus when they made Beastmaster. And it shows. It's fun. It's silly.
See, you dismissed the sequel so quickly.
Because it sucks.
I enjoy that. One of my favorite gags ever is just In the sequel, he
travels through time.
He comes to Earth to stop his brother from stealing an atomic bomb or something. But he's in modern day, which would have been, what, 84, 85 at the time?
Yeah.
But they drive by a movie theater, and on the marquee, it just says, like, Beastmaster 12 or something. And that's the joke. That's it. Like, I don't remember a reference to it. I just remember seeing it in the background and thought, that is brilliant.
The rest of the movie, not so much.
Yeah, it returned as on their TV show in the either late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, I'm sure there probably was.
Starring Mark Singer, who would have been 20 years older at that time.
Like 50 or 60 at that point.
Any also-rans?
A lot of also-rans for me. I feel like Spartacus was one that could have made my list. I do like Kubrick movies a lot. It didn't. You mentioned the Ten Commandments. That would have been...
Did I?
Yeah, you said Burning Bush.
That's
where that came from.
Oh, okay.
So you sort of made reference to the Ten Commandments. That's one that I think a lot of people have. Charlton Heston is a guy that has quite a few that could end up on this list.
He's the John Wayne of sword and sandal movies.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Maybe not that Rogers guy that played Hercules about 5 or 6 times a year. But again, I sort of digress. I love the Conan movies. They didn't make it because I thought they were kind of on the nose, so to speak. I am, believe it or not, I'm more of a fan of Destroyer. I like me some Grace Jones. Not so much into Barbarian. Because, again, I think that one was a little too old, too mature for a 8-9-year-old Ryan.
I had Troy and Alexander.
Sure.
Troy and Alexander, and then what was that? Other Orlando Bloom one, The Great Kingdom or whatever.
Kingdom of Heaven. Yeah. Another Ridley Scott movie.
Those all came out right around the same time when sword and sandal movies were coming back. Sure. I had Troy and Alexander because when I was thinking of sword and sandal movies, those were one of the first ones to come to mind. Those are sword and sandal movies, but
yeah, definitely.
I didn't like them more than the other ones. I justified into considering them sword and sandal movies. And then How to Train Your Dragon, back to the Vikings thing. I counted that.
That's where I thought you were going when you said Vikings and Dragons.
That's where I got a lot confused with Centurion. How to Train Your Dragon was the one I threw on there because I convinced myself Vikings counted.
But it didn't make your list.
No. No, it got replaced by Centurion when I thought, ooh, shirtless Michael Fassbender.
All right. So there you have it. 5-1, Dave.
Outlander, Year One, Barabbas, Centurion, and Your Highness.
My number 5 also features a shirtless Michael Fassbender. It's 300, Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans, Gladiator, and the beloved 1982 classic, The Beastmaster. That'll do it for us this week. We get you a little bonus movies on up this week, 2 episodes. We'll be back to 1 next week. Can't really tell you what it's going to be about, not because we don't know, and it would be easy for you to think that, but we do know. We're just not going to tell you. That, my friends, is what we call in the business a tease. So in the meantime, between now and next week, if you want to catch up with my co-host, the scabbard to my sword, Dave Bacella, you can do so in the following ways.
At Dave Bacella on Twitter, DaveBacella.com, which I promise I will update someday.
I know you're holding your breath.
Yeah, so that. Oh, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. We're back. It's our two-year anniversary week. I'm sure we have a new episode this week, and then we'll have a few this month. I think March is packed with anniversary festivities, maybe. So check out Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at ericanddave.com, Eric with a K.
Any anniversaries for facts?
No.
No, that is a fact. No anniversaries for facts, but a good podcast nonetheless.
Factspodcast.com. Yeah.
Check that out. Check us out next week. We'll be back. Like I said, one mystery, super surprise episode. But until then,
keep it up.